And the other thing,
I know this is going to be controversial,
the customer is not always right.
Hey everyone, welcome to today's episode of Behind the Science. Hey Liz.
Hi.
How you doing?
Yeah, making it.
I know, right? It's been a busy day for me. How about you? How's work going?
Yeah, busy. My project manager is on maternity leave, which means I'm a project manager right now.
But and accountant.
Oh, and everything else I do, so.
And salesperson.
Okay. How are you doing?
I'm good. I'm just juggling a lot of stuff right now.
Who are you?
I'm Joe Arenella. I'm founder of Sign Tracker and now the resident sign guy in Ingtavo.
And I'm Liz, his co-host of Behind the Science podcast, which is what you're watching.
Yes.
And, or listening to, and also his daughter.
Yes.
Yes.
So today I did my first two shop tours. I'm trying to videotape on my own. The first two are going to be shaky, but I promise to get better at them.
Progress, not perfection.
That's right. Behind the Science, we're going to start doing shop tours. I think that's going to be really cool for the community. If you're interested in talking about that with us, let us know. And if I'm in your neighborhood, we can come and do shop tours. I do travel a lot for trade shows. So that would be awesome to be in your shop and do a little tour and do some videoing and show the world what you do. But in the meantime, I did two local shops here in Austin today. I did Lewis Signs, who we interviewed John Lewis on a podcast recently. And I did Rocket Banners, which is a small commercial vinyl shop. It was really cool. We had a fun time, took a couple of the Ingtavo team people to the shops, and it was fun. Before we get started, let's thank our sponsors, Liz, because they help us to bring this to the Behind the Science community.
They do, Joe. Who are they?
Okay, first of all, we'd like to thank our friends at Sign Tracker and Ingtavo. So Sign Tracker is an online project management tool that will help you keep track of all your projects and provide consistent quoting to your customers. You can try it free at sign-tracker.com. And if you hit us up an email, we'll actually give you a nice discount coupon on your first month. So, but you can also try it free for 14 days. Just go to sign-tracker.com. And I think it's gonna be a game changer for your shop.
You know what I didn't ever much think about?
What?
Well, just the thanking Sign Tracker is kind of like thanking yourself.
I mean, it's kind of.
There's more than you now, but it's just funny.
Yeah.
I mean, we're not above nepotism on this podcast, obviously.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, it is my day job. So, yeah. You know, this is our passion project. Sign Tracker is my day job. So I got to plug it a little bit.
And as always, thanks to you guys. I mean, if I had to be perfectly honest, if it weren't for you watching this, I wouldn't be here because I have a day job.
Yes. And we love you guys very much.
Yes.
So thank you for being part of the Behind the Science community.
Yeah.
So today we're going to talk about, just for a few minutes, about kind of creating a culture at your shop that really focuses on customer attention and, you know, loving your customers, having great positive customer relationships.
Yeah, I think like over the last two episodes, you know, we dove in pretty deep on sales.
Sales. Everyone does sales a little
differently.
Everyone
does it differently. And it's all very important. Go listen to those episodes if you haven't already.
Yes.
But today we're kind of talking about what happens next. Like, okay, so you made the sale. You got the customer. How do you keep them? Right? And I think our goal today is to talk about how we structure our companies to develop that company culture of customer-centric, and then also kind of how do we build those relationships internally and externally, and then how do we make sure that those relationships that we're spending all this time and money building, how do we make sure they last?
Well, I think too, in the sign industry, as most of you know, it's like in sign tracker, for example, or any other kind of, even I think about my janitorial business when I'm a janitorial business, right? Like we had a contract that was month to month to month.
Right.
And so, you know, as long as you showed up and cleaned the office building, you were paid every month. So you didn't necessarily have to spend all the energy, all the time getting new customers. Where in our business, your business, we live and die by the next sale.
It's one of the things that makes this industry so hard.
It's very, very hard, right? So, I mean, yes, I I know that each of you probably have customers that order over and over and over again. It'd be kind of cool to hear about some of the things that you do to retain your customers. So if you can comment after you watch this podcast, we can all continue to learn together, because I know this is absolutely common sense, and I'm going to make this up. I'm making this up. I should have probably Googled this before we get started, but it's 1,000 times harder to get a new customer and way more expensive than it is to retain.
Sure, people have done the math on this.
Yeah.
It's a shit ton more expensive.
It's way more expensive.
To get a new customer, right? To make that sale or build that relationship than it is to have that repeat. The repeat business.
Yeah. And so I think in our business especially, I mean, we all do projects, right? Where one person opens one shop and, you know, you do the sign for them. Maybe it's a channel letter sign and that's the end of the story. Mm-hmm. Although I think even those customers too, if you can figure out a way to stay, you know, front and center in their minds, even those customers will tend to need more things, right?
Absolutely.
So whether it's window graphics or wall graphics or whatever. So
you kind of talked about like how, and we kind of have a portion of this in our business, right? Like we do have design retainer agreements where it is a month to month thing. And that's different because that's more on the branding side of our business. But what about, you know, you talked about for Newport Mesa Cleaning Company, how it was kind of a contract, or Coastal Building Services, however, both of them. Yeah. You had a contract where it was month to month, and even Sign Tracker. I mean, it's a subscription-based model, but it's SignTech. How did you kind of build that?
Well, first of all, it started internally, right? So everybody, and some people liked this and some people didn't. I loved it.
I had no doubt. This, like, customers is your favorite part of any business.
Yeah. But every single business card, every single person, whether it was a salesperson or one of co-owner, owner, designer, our business cards, and I did have owner on my card because people did like to know they were talking to an owner sometimes, but it was owner/customer care. My signature email says that now, founder/customer care. So every single person that had a business card at the company had /customer care. And I love that. And it was important for our team to know that that was our mission. Mm-hmm. It was to take care of customers. And it was kind of cool for customers to see that too. And a lot of times actually back in the day when you really passed out your business cards to everybody, which you still kind of can, we would get a lot of comments on that, you know, like, oh, that's really nice. Customer cared. So I think that was, you know, I know that's a small thing, but it was kind of the basis for how we created the culture at our company, where everyone knew their job was a lot more than just about getting a job done and getting a job done right, which those are important things, but the end result was a happy customer. Mm-hmm. And that really came through in how all the work was delivered.
We also, you know, as you know, I mean, I feel like as everyone knows right now, our motto, do good work for good people with good people. And we really live by every bit of that motto, right? We go through a checklist and often, you know, does this customer fit our or match our ethics, our beliefs, our does this project align with what we want to put our name on.
So does that make it easier for you guys to maintain customer happiness, you think, if you're just right off the bat choosing the best customer? Because that's not always easy to do, right? Like,
and I'll kind of show you how, right? So first, we make sure the project aligns with our belief system. And second, you know, the four good people. Okay, does this person align and respect our expertise? Do they align with how we manage our projects, our project flow? Do they align with, do we vibe? Yeah.
So out of curiosity, how do you guys sort of vet that? Like, do you do that together as a team, or is it just like a gut feeling like, we're going to pass on this one? Or how do you sort of?
100% depends on the project, and 100% depends on the person, right? Like, usually there are some times when we've been doing this for a long time. Mm-hmm. Depends on the person, if they've been recommended by someone and we know who that person is that's referred them to us, then they all might.
Right. That takes the edge off.
It already checks some of the vibe, passes the vibe check. And the third part of that is with good people.
And that means our team, right? So does this person respect our team? Does this project align with our team's abilities? Will this person respect their expertise? Not just them as a person, but also their knowledge and their expertise. If they pass all of those, we know that we're going to be able to build a lasting relationship with them because they respect us and we respect them, right? And if they don't pass that vibe check, if they don't check those boxes, it seems really simple. And I'm not saying we've never done it before. We have. But what we've learned is it's typically not a lasting relationship for us. Mm. We fall out, and not in a bad way. We just kind of, this probably isn't the best fit for ongoing projects. But we know that if it doesn't check those boxes, one of us won't be happy at some point. And it's okay. We're not for everybody and everybody's not for us. There are so many companies out there to choose from and there's so much business out there for everybody. So we don't have to be the right fit for everybody. And by being somewhat selective, we're not elitists in any way, but by being selective and knowing, hey, this is a good fit, we're going to do really well together. It sets us both up for success. And also what it does is, by having those checks and balances, it makes sure that every single partner that we have, our whole team respects them. Our whole team knows we're not just going to throw someone in there that isn't going to work well mm-hmm. with us, with the way that we work. So by the time a project comes to their plate, they know it's been vetted. Like, this is a good one. And that way, when a partner comes to them and asks them a question, they give it their all every single time.
And I would say, look, for you guys that are just starting out, that's not easy. Don't expect to be able to do that from day one.
We had to learn that lesson.
Yeah, because I was thinking, like, in the beginning, especially when you're trying to, you know, make payroll or...
100%. And I think that we're, in some ways, this topic is a little bit past that.
Right.
I think that is sales, right? And that's where you kind of start. This is when you've gotten to a point where your cash flow is somewhat stable, as stable as it can be in this wild, wild industry. But your cash flow is somewhat stable and you're to a point where you can start kind of shaping.
Yeah. Because the thing is,
long-term customers.
Because the thing is, too, at the end of the day, if you take on the wrong customer, it robs you of your time to take care of the good customers, right? So,
absolutely.
And the good customers are hard to come by, as you
absolutely.
Know. Absolutely. I mean, it's hard. I guess you'll get better and better at that as time goes on, for sure.
But like, so we're structured very different, right? Signtech and Studios are wildly different companies in a lot of ways. So at Signtech, you had salespeople. So how did you make sure that customer-centered like culture that you were developing internal to the company, how did you make sure that was being communicated through each salesperson so you could develop long-term?
Well, I think it's similar to what you guys did too. Like it took time. Mm-hmm. So at the beginning, we took on pretty much anybody that was willing to write a check for anything because we had overhead and we were trying to make a name for ourselves and mm-hmm. build relationships in the community. But I think as time went on and we built, you know, relationships where there's mutual respect and trust. And yes. So then we started getting a flow of work. You know, I think I've talked about this before, too. A lot of times we held ourselves out as, you know, knowledge experts in our space for signage. And we put a lot of effort into educating architects and property managers and all that kind of stuff. We've talked about that. But I think those sorts of activities helped build a lot of trust in the community. Some of the other things that we did too, and I know this is going to sound completely corny, like the customer care thing, but if you think about your customers, like think about a relationship that you want to have with a really good friend or a family member that you really care about. And obviously it's a business relationship, right? So there's going to be boundaries and all that kind of stuff. But because sometimes people will take advantage of that too. But, you know, for us, like national accounts, for example, you know, we would always try to stay in at top of mind, right? So, you know, for us, I know you guys do some things that are super creative, staying on top of mind with your customers. You know, for us, because we had outside salespeople and we had a lot of national accounts, we would take the time, you know, at least once a year, and it depends on the customer, sometimes more. And we would fly, like we had a customer in Buffalo, New York, for example, you know, we would fly up to Buffalo. We would visit with them. We were doing all the family Christian bookstores back in the day when that was a thing. They were in Grand Rapids, Michigan. And, you know, we would fly up there a couple times a year. We'd get together with the construction coordinator and usually his team would take two or three people out to dinner and just really, you know, I mean, in some cases, went to their houses, got to know their families and just, you know, really built some strong connections with our customers. And, you know, then the next day would, you know, maybe we'd go to their office and kind of discuss if we had ongoing projects or what might be coming up in the future, have breakfast together and fly home. I mean, it was a little bit of an investment to do that sort of thing. But doing that sort of thing, it showed our customers that we really cared about them and mm-hmm. taking care of them. And it's, you know, when you're putting that kind of, pressure almost on yourself to take care of your customers, almost like their family, you know, they know, they feel it, they sense that they're taken care of. And you know, when it came to things like pricing or quality, you know, we had to make sure we were on top of our game if we were taking care of someone that we looked at, like you call them partners, but like part of our client family, you know? Mm-hmm. And so, and we were always, always, you know, making sure that we did things like that with our customers. And so I think, you know, you have to go the extra mile, especially I think in our business, you have to go the extra mile to keep them coming back to your door. Because as you know, the competition down the street, they might be price driven. And if you don't have that kind of tight relationship with your customer, you know, not that you shouldn't be fair with your pricing, but you don't have to be, when you have a good relationship, you don't have to be the cheapest on the block. That's for sure.
Totally. Like the big thing that for us, to maintain our customer base is one thing you said, plain and simple, trust. Trust builds partnerships. Partnerships build loyalty. I mean, that's just 100%, 113% if you're our company. In my opinion, the best way to build that trust is absolutely not by being a yes man. It is not by being the cheapest.
Yeah.
Ever.
Yeah.
Not that you want
to. That's a race to the bottom.
And that's not having the customer's best interest in mind. Cost isn't always the biggest driver. There are other things you can do to get within their budget. That's called value engineering, but not just cutting your profits, right? Like that's not helping your company either. And that's not a good partner. Mm-hmm. So, and the other thing, I know this is going to be controversial. The customer is not always right. And if that is your mentality, you're not going to build trust. That's just someone telling you what to do. Mm-hmm. Building trust is about listening to your customer or to your partners. Mm-hmm. Listening isn't doing what they want. Listening is listening to the problem they have and being an expert with the solutions that they need. Mm-hmm. Period. For By sure. Being able to do that, you're creating job security, right? Like if you just listen to what they want and you build what they want all the time, they don't need you. Anyone can do that. But if you deliver solutions, if you are the expert, they're the expert in what they do, right? And you're the expert in what you do. And if you allow them to see and rely on you as an expert in signage, which is what you are, then you're creating job security. And job security, if you really just want to put it another way, is customer loyalty in this industry.
And I think too, the thing about retaining a customer compared to getting a new customer, it's way more fun.
Oh.
Like you can do really, get creative, right? I mean, we're in the signs and graphics industry. I mean, you're going to do a big install, massive install, you know, and you're going to have a bunch of people come out and, you know, witness the install. Give out some t-shirts or some swag or whatever, right? Or film it for them. You know, film it for them and, you know, get it to them so that they can put it all over their social media. It was a big sign being installed or whatever. There's a lot more those sorts of personal things that you can do on a project. Makes them more vested in the project, makes them more excited about being part of the whole experience, mm-hmm. and makes them love you and what you do for them. So what we would do is we would take a bunch of completion photos of the sign. And so we had this template that we used. And, you know, the very first page was like the cover page, and it had our logo and their logo. And then you opened it up and it had all the completion photos. So if it was a bigger project, maybe it might be 3, 4, 5 pages with all the photos. And then the very last page was a big thank you from your friends at SignTech. And then everyone in the company signed it, you know, and then we would send that out. Of course, we'd clip the final invoice to the back, but it all, you know, we didn't just send a final invoice in a little envelope. Yeah. But we sent an 8.5 by 11 envelope, yeah. You know, and it was nice and stamped and would send it out. And of course that really helped with getting paid because our invoice was, you know, front and center, but it was just a really nice touch to make sure that the customer was happy. Also, we did something at our shop called the Happenings Report. And so every day we got a list of all the projects that were being done. And we're going to talk a little bit more about project management next month. But, you know, we'd have a list every day of what was done yesterday, what's being done today, and what's being done tomorrow. And it triggered action. So we would call. And when a project was completed, our project managers would immediately call the customer and ask them if they were happy. You know, and even though we would punch list it, we would make sure the site was clean and everything was done correctly. Sometimes something missed an expectation. So if you were the person initiating a phone call to ensure that they were happy at the end of a project, the fact that maybe something needed to be fixed or cleaned or whatever, that you initiated it makes all the difference in the world. It won't stick in their mind as a complaint, right? Mm-hmm. And then what's being done today, you know, again, it would trigger customers, you know, it would trigger action on our part to make sure that all of our T's were crossed, our I's were dotted, and everything was in line for the customer to be happy. And then what's being done tomorrow, we would contact the customers. And this is, look, we did a lot of electric signs. So depending on what you do, if you do banners or stickers, or maybe it would work a little bit different, but you kind of get the idea. But it's communication, basically, is what I'm saying. Mm-hmm. And so we would call the customer and say, hey, just a reminder, we're going to be out there tomorrow morning, 8:00. Is someone going to be there? We need access to the space, or, you know, it's very exciting. We're going to have your project done tomorrow, you know, and that sort of stuff. So, but, you know, communication, I think, and ensuring, you know, whether it's completed or about to be installed, that the customer was aware of exactly what was going on and that they, you know, that they were happy.
We definitely email our invoices, so we don't like print out that packet, but we do still do handwritten thank you cards for each project, right? That just is kind of a nice touch. We have everyone in our, it's someone's job in our company to send out thank you cards, but she has like a stack of pre-signed cards, and then she writes a personal message that either she works with me or the project manager or the sales team. Ooh, I said it! Or like the lead, basically, right, of the job, or even the designer. So we do come up with like a personalized message.
That's nice.
Sometimes it's punny, sometimes it's just sentimental. And then depending on who it is, we will throw like a couple sticker type swag stuff in there. That's just kind of our after project style of, it's kind of a form of retention, right? It's a strategy. But the other things we do is we remind people that we're here, right? So how do you get people coming back for more? Well, hey, I'm here. I'm still here.
Yeah.
Whether it's a single one-off business or not, let's say it's a construction company or, you know, just a designer that you've worked with. We send out monthly newsletters. This is via email. Everyone that gets them has opted into them. But we do also like remind people to opt into them either via our socials or just a message to someone. We also ask for reviews so that other people, that's more of a strategy for new work than it is for repeat business. But we do ask for reviews. Absolutely. But we send out this monthly newsletter. It's very well designed. It is not just thrown together. It is very much labored over. Every word is checked. Like, it is very curated. And in that newsletter, it's not just work that we've done, which is really exciting for some partners to see their work featured in one of our newsletters or on our social media. Usually this goes hand in hand with a social media post that we've made that month. But that newsletter doesn't just capture a project that we've done. It also captures some tips for people that are reading it, or sometimes a tool that we've made, you know, digital tool that they can download. And that's all free if you just opt into the newsletter. And that actually is you can measure the click-through rate on that, which is really nice. Mm-hmm. So you see if it's working or not. The other thing we do, as you guys, I think, all know by now, swag. We send out swag like crazy. People like it. We make sure our swag is really high quality. It's not, no offense to anyone that wears them, it is not polos. It's never going to be a polo. We made one company polo. Oh, I should eat my words. We did make one company polo. I have never worn it. I refuse.
Studiozo?
Yeah, we have a Studiozo polo. I hate it.
I didn't get one of those.
You can have mine. I never wear it. I think it's like literally upstairs in a drawer for a lot of our team members because it's like the one they'll throw on before a meeting because it never wrinkles. No, I'm not a fan. We don't do what they can get out of a foreign print style swag. But anyway, swag is a big one for us. And then also our annual end of year box is another just reminder. It's just kind of constant reminders. Hey. Still here.
I think that, you know, the bottom line when it comes to customer attention is you know, focus on the relationship. So once a customer does buy something from you, how are you going to continue to have a business friendship and partnership with them? So Anyway, like I said, it's a lot cheaper to keep your customers than it is to get new ones. So just encourage you guys to get creative, have fun, remember that lesson. And anything else you want to add to this?
I think that those are some really good pointers, and I hope that this helps you guys. You know, make sure that you like and subscribe to the podcast either on YouTube or Spotify, or I think Apple Podcasts too has it. Follow along in the Facebook group. We do talk about these topics in all of those forums. So we'll see you on the next one.
Yeah, thank you.
Bye,
guys.
Bye.
Thank you so much. And if you ever have questions that you'd like Liz and I to talk about on some of these podcasts, we'd love to hear from you. Just send us either a direct message or even post questions inside the Facebook group. And if you're ever interested in being interviewed, please shoot us a direct message in the Facebook group. And we'd love to have you on as a guest to talk about some of these topics. Thanks, Behind the Science community. We appreciate you very much. And we will see you on the next episode.
Bye.